It works better. Look at that. The title of today's message is When Joy Goes Viral. So if you want to share this with somebody, feel free to do that. But for us, what does the term Merry Christmas mean to you? What does Merry mean? Do you know? How would you define that? How would you define that to your friends and your family? Hopefully you define that as not just the lady's name. I don't know if you probably knew that, but it's not Mary's Christmas, right? It's Merry Christmas. I know as a guy who misspelled church, you might think that I didn't know that. The joke's on you, actually. But Merry means, you know, joyful, with glee, with happiness, right? And so Christmas obviously means the birth of Christ, the advent of Christ, the coming of Christ to us. And so that's what Merry Christmas is all about. That's what Michelle ended with. That's what this whole thing is about. That's what we do every Sunday. Matter of fact, is it's all about Christ and Him crucified, Him born so that He could die, and He could die so that we might live. It's an amazing story. And it's not just for Christmas, right? But this is what we're talking about now. Because this is what Christmas is about. It's not about a jolly fat guy. It's not about, you know, reindeer. It's not about presents or food or trees or any of those kind of things. It's all about Jesus. We live in a society also today where things can kind of catch fire and they go viral. Perhaps you've seen viral things on YouTube or Facebook or TikTok or Instagram or whatever. Social media is the new hot thing right now. And so what does it look like when joy goes viral? Well, in the text, we're going to see that. And so you know it. We're not going to read through the whole thing because you just heard it. But let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll jump into today's message. God, our Father in heaven, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that we are a part of a church that has every age group recognized. I praise you, Lord, that we're a part of a church that is alive and growing, that we have children that can share your story, as well as senior saints that can share your story. God, I pray that as we look at this story that many of us have heard so many times, we're very familiar with, God, I pray that you would help us to hear it anew, to treasure it afresh, and to share it boldly with zeal. It's in your name we do pray. Amen. So the opening of this, the first part of this joy that makes things go viral, is just very simply the birth, right? Birth is always an exciting thing. In fact, we have a couple that's not represented here today, because I think they're either still at the hospital or they just got home. Caitlin and Carson Crisp just brought their new baby boy into the world, so praise God for that. I believe everybody's healthy and doing well, and so I know we'll all look forward to meeting him very soon. But birth is always a wonderful thing. Jesus' birth points us to a gift that God has given to the entire world. And even though we just heard it, I do want to read the text to you here so that we're all on the same page. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus to all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from his town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And so, by the way, if you ever read through Luke's genealogy and Matthew's genealogy, and they seem a little different to you, it's because, just so you know, one is a physical genealogy and one is a legal genealogy, okay? So it's not that there's contradictions in the Bible. They're there for different purposes. One is to show that he is the blood lineage of King David and Abraham and all those folks, and the other one is to show that he is the legal lineage of King David. So not only does he have the physical right, but also the legal right to be the offspring of David. That's what those are about, okay? But anyway, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And ladies, how many of you would sign up to give birth into a stall? Just show of hands, right? You know, it's hard enough as it is, let alone being out there with a bunch of the animals. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in the manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And so the first part of this is the birth is the good news. And you know that, I hope. But remember this situation. Just put yourself here. We had the ability to see this, but Caesar In this time, this is a massive undertaking. He gave this out to all of what we would consider the conquered, the known world at the time, right? His influence was massive, and this was a massive undertaking. He would have sent people out across the globe. They're riding their ships. They're riding their horses. They're in chariots or whatever, wagons or whatever else that they had. They're going out to all these areas, and then those would go to like the smaller areas of government, all the way down to the smaller area of government, and everybody was to do this. And you would have all the Roman guards and all the soldiers around helping to facilitate this so that people could be numbered. And just like them, they were numbered for several reasons. One, to find out what their military might would be, but also to find out what their taxation purposes would be. Yay. So Joseph, we talked about him, right? He had this plan for his life that he thought was not going the way that he thought until the dream, and then that was revealed to him. But he still has to deal with this situation. He's got a pregnant wife, and he's got a long journey to go on. And so this new husband travels all the way back with his new wife, and he's about to be a new father. And his taxes are about to go up. And then you have Mary, his wife, this young lady who is a new mother, who is still probably wondering about all this stuff. And all of that, you would think that they would at least have a spot in the inn, wouldn't you? Think about how you might feel in this situation. I already have to answer to all of my family back home about this woman who is pregnant, and I have to explain to him that it's really not an illicit child, it's from the Holy Spirit. Nobody believes me. And now I have to travel with her all the way over here just so some guy can raise my taxes and know that I exist in his kingdom. Or young Mary, dealing with all the social awkwardness that she would go through by being pregnant with the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, that's what her friends and her family would think. Aside from maybe Elizabeth. And now she has to travel. Women, have you ever traveled far distances when you've been really pregnant? My wife has, which means I have, and we were in a car. I can't imagine riding on a donkey, right? Be miserable. And then you get to where you're going, and out of all this, you're thinking, really? Really, God? You did all, we're doing all of this, and we can't even have a place in a hotel for the night? We've got to be out in a stable. I'm sure it smelled great. But this birth is the good news. Isaiah tells us, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and here he is. Micah 5:2 says, Bethlehem foretold as the birthplace of the Messiah, and here he is. Genesis 3:15 talks about the promise of the Redeemer, and here he is. 2 Samuel 7:12-13 talks about this promise to David and his descendant who would rule and reign over the entire world, and here he is, and he is born in a stable. This is what the world has been waiting for. From creation, this was the plan. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, generation after generation of promises to people. And Mary and Joseph have the ability to have this be fulfilled. I hope that you recognize that this Christmas, every day is more about gifts. It is about the gift of a son to an undeserving people, you and me. Gift of the Messiah. The birth of the Creator of the universe coming into the flesh. You should be in awe every time you hear this. I don't know about your family. We have a tradition at Christmas, just to torture my kids, I make sure we read the Bible before we open any presents, right? It's the pastor. It's what we're supposed to do. But here's my recommendation to you. You may have heard this so many times, and you need to hear it again, and it's not just to torture you before you open your presents, right? It's because this should never get old to you. The Creator of the universe took on flesh, and was born not in a kingdom and a palace amongst servants waiting on him hand and feet, but born in a stable, in a manger, because there was no room for him. So we get to the second part of this narrative, which is the announcement of this. You know, we love to announce things nowadays, right? We announce our weddings before they happen. We have save the date, right? And also, we start making these things called save the date magnets, all right? And so then they're on our refrigerator so that you can know how much we love you when you come over, if you're still on our refrigerator or not, right? How long have we kept your magnet? That's definitive of how much we care for you, right? But not really. But we make these announcements. We make birth announcements. Wedding announcements, birth announcements. Because those are happy occasions, right? We want other people to share in our joy as well. So we give that out. Or Christmas cards, which, by the way, reminds me, you probably have a box upstairs and it's probably full of Christmas cards. Please go get them, because I don't want people to yell at me. Please, please go get your Christmas cards. But the next part of this is the announcement. I want to read that to you. In the text, it says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night." Now, I have the great joy of reading the shepherds part in our Christmas Eve service, okay? So I get to do that on Christmas Eve. You'll hear me read the shepherds part. And because I'm reading through that, of course, it's natural that this is in my mind too. And so I want to talk about what this might look like too. So in the same region, there were shepherds out in their field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." And of course, this is the announcement not only to the shepherds but to the world. But I want you to think about this for a minute. Shepherds were lowly, overlooked, stinky, smelly, backcountry folk. I can relate. And they're out in the darkness, right? They don't have flashlights. They don't have lanterns. They probably have a fire, I would assume, just to cook their food and to stay warm throughout the night and all those kind of things. But they're out there in the dark. And I really like the way that it was written to do my part over the shepherds, and so I'm gonna talk just a little bit about that. But imagine that at night. They're probably sitting around the fire, probably a handful of them. And you can, I've never spent the night with sheep, but in my imagination, they're out there probably starting to lay down, probably bleating to one another out there. Not bleeding as in losing vital fluid, bleating as in making noise, right? Hopefully that was clear. But they're out there in the field, and they're bleating to one another, and it's clear night. I don't know if you've ever been anywhere that's away from the city, but as you're out there at night, you know, it's beautiful. If you've ever been a place that's out away from city lights, and you can see all the stars that are out there, right? And so you've got the fire, you've got your friends that are around you, just like any other night. You're out there in the field, you're probably breaking bread with one another, your sheep are out there bleating to one another, so you know that they're there, and you're just out there looking at the stars. And we've all been at campfires, right? Isn't there something just in its essence that's very peaceful and unifying and, dare I say, even sometimes a little majestic around a fire? And so it's the same experience for them. I don't think things have changed very much for humanity over the time that far. And so they're enjoying the fire, the warmth that it gives, the fellowship that they have, and around this. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the angel of the Lord appears in dazzling array. I don't know what you would do. I don't know what I would do, quite frankly. But I'm sure I would be dumbstruck. Maybe one of the shepherds falls to their face. Maybe one of the shepherds, literally, you could see like the bread drops out of his mouth as this angel appears in the heavens. And here they are just doing whatever they would do normally, and then they're given this announcement. This announcement, the one that we still announce today, that unto you a Savior is born. Christ, the awaited Messiah. These shepherds would know this story. They may not have been welcomed and necessarily smiled upon if they walk into the synagogue because, you know, they smell like sheep. But nonetheless, they would know these stories. They would know the stories of King David and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They would know the stories of Rebekah. They would know the stories of Ruth. They would know these stories. These stories would have been passed down from generation to generation. They too would have been waiting for the Messiah. And upon hearing this announcement, what did they do? Just went back to tending their sheep, right? Absolutely not. You see, they heard that there was a baby in a manger. And I want for you to hear this announcement too. Because we all have one thing in common with the shepherds. The shepherds had done nothing to deserve this announcement coming to them. In society's eyes, they were, you know, bottom of the barrel. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know that Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you would hear this announcement today because this announcement is for you. That unto you a child is born. Now, the difference between their announcement and our announcement today is that we know how this played out. And they would have to wait about 30-some years to find out. But the announcement's the same. That unto you a child is born, and that child is the King. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The one on whom your salvation rests. The one who loves you enough to give himself for you. The one who has come to cleanse your conscience and cleanse your heart. The one who has come to assure that you, although you may physically die, you will never perish. You will have everlasting life. And not only just everlasting life, but everlasting life in paradise with a perfect body. And not only paradise in a perfect body, although that would be great, the best part of that is you will have everlasting life with him. He loves you enough that he wants to spend all of eternity with you. He loves you. And he did all of this for you. And this was always the plan. And in the adult Sunday school class, we're reading through Philippians. This is and was the plan for you. And this is the announcement that the shepherds hear. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29 tells us that God chooses the lowly things in the world to shame the things that are great. That's why he gives this announcement to shepherds. That's why King David was a shepherd. James 2, 5 says that God chooses the poor to be rich in faith. And so, friend, the gospel is for you. And so the way that I hope that you would receive this part of this message is this, that no matter who you are, where you are from, what you have done, this Jesus can be your Jesus. He can be your Savior. And it would be my prayer that if you do not know him as Lord and Savior, you would choose him today. And for all of us, whether today is the first day of your choice, or whether this is, you know, the 75th year for you of hearing this story, this next part is for all of us, which is the response. So what did the shepherds do? Of course, they just sat back and finished their hummus, right? Or whatever. Would they eat lamb? Would they? Probably. It seems so wrong. But I bet they did. Maybe that's what they were eating. They finished their food. They just hung out, right? They talked about this. Absolutely not. And that shouldn't be our response either. So I want to encourage you. This may be a story you've heard a bunch. Will you share it? I mean, will you share it with the zeal that it deserves? This is what they did. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. They did not dawdle, okay? They left their sheep there, which was crazy. It's crazy, right? And that's their livelihood. And they're like, good luck, sheep, we're out of here. And they found Mary and Joseph. And by the way, this was in a town. I'm sure there were other stables. I'm sure they had to look around. We always think of it that they had like some, you know, supernatural beeline right to the manger. Maybe. We always think of it that it was just the one manger. You know, I don't know. Probably not. But they found them. They looked for them. Actively. And they found Mary and Joseph, and they found the baby laying in the manger, just as the angels have said. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. And this is the verse that makes me think that they had to search a little bit more than just the beeline. Do you think that they were knocking on doors and opening up stables? I like to think of it that way. I like to think of it that the shepherds were so desirous of getting there, that as they went through Bethlehem looking for King Jesus, this baby born in the manger, that they woke people up. And that those people wondering, like, what in the world are these shepherds doing? And they're like, bro, these angels like popped out of nowhere. They said that there was a baby somewhere in here. Listen, I can't talk to you right now. Is there a baby here? And they're like, what? And they're like, never mind. And then they go on to the next place, you know, and then they knock on that door. Is there a baby here? All right, what are you talking? Why are you? Hey, if there's no baby, I'm moving on, right? Like, don't have time for this. And so they continue throughout Bethlehem. In my mind, that's how this reads. Not just Joseph and Mary, they already knew. That's why I don't like that song. Mary, did you know? Yes, clearly. It's in the Bible. It's an unbiblical song. No, I'm just kidding. Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. So they did have to go back to work. Life continued, right? But do you think for these guys it was ever the same? I'm sure it wasn't. They went back out to the fields because they had to. But they went back out singing, glorifying God. The response of this announcement is a joyful witness. Are you a crotchety Christian? Shame on you. Are you a Scroogeful, saved person? Shame on you. The response that we should have is joy. This is what the angels have. These angels disappear from them. They leave everything and find this child. Are we willing to leave things to find Jesus, to have a deeper relationship with Jesus? Do we find joy in that even? Are we excited about that, or are we burdened by it? Do we sometimes forget that God doesn't have to reveal himself to us? That there's nothing deserving in me? There's nothing deserving in me? Well, of course Jesus saved me. I mean, look at me. Is that what the shepherds were thinking? Is that what you sometimes think? Of course Jesus has made himself known to you. Look at you. No, we're like the shepherds. Do we go about our days? Do we go about our Christmas season even? Interrupting the normal flow so that we can tell people about this announcement? Are we even telling people Merry Christmas anymore? They go in and they see Mary and Joseph sitting there or standing there or probably laying there. I can only imagine, you know, Jesus was just born. He's wrapped up in these cloths and he's laying there. And, you know, I've been through 4 births and it's rough, man. And then these random dudes show up to your room. And they want to see this baby. Thankfully, guns weren't invented yet. They'd probably all be dead. Can you imagine Joseph probably having his sidearm with him? But I don't think that's what happened. I think what happened is because of the situation that they got there, they're like, these angels appeared to us, and Joseph is like, yeah, sounds right. Come on in. And Mary, having this knowledge, welcomes them. And these guys, who are worthy of nothing, get to see the Savior on the day of his birth. How could it not change their lives? How could they not have a joyful witness? Just because you haven't seen the baby Jesus, just because an angel hasn't appeared to you, you have the same Savior. Do you have less joy? Shame on us. Christians should be the most annoyingly happy people in the world. We should be the people at work when they say, like, why are you so happy? It's annoying. And you should be like, well, you don't know my Jesus. See, when we encounter Jesus, we respond with witness. You know, when you go to see a good movie, you tell people about it. When you have a good steak dinner, you tell them about the restaurant. Why are we not telling people about Jesus? Acts 4:20 tells us that they cannot help speaking about what they have seen and what they have heard. John 1:40 through 42, Andrew meets Jesus and then immediately goes to tell Peter. John 4:28 through 30, the Samaritan woman leaves her jar to go tell the whole village. Not only that, but the Samaritan woman came to go get water on her own because she was already ostracized from everybody in the village. And she decided that that didn't matter anymore. You see, joy, this knowledge of your salvation, should lead us to proclaim his salvation. Should lead us to rejoice and sing praises. It should lead us to a peace that surpasses understanding. To a joy that the world cannot understand. That's why in Philippians 4:4 it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Is that possible? Yes. When we remember who we are and what he has done. And remember also that God uses ordinary people to spread extraordinary news. These are shepherds. So you have no excuse. Acts 8:4 says that we went about preaching the word, and they were fishermen. Matthew 28:19 through 20 is the Great Commission. And it's for all of us, not just pastors, not just missionaries. It's for regular people just like you. And it is not only a command, it is a command, but it's a privilege. You get to tell someone else about a God who loves them, about a Savior who died for them, about a future, about a hope, about a joy, about a peace. You get to tell somebody about that. And yet we hesitate. Oh, brother or sister, remember who he is and what he's done. Remember this season. Remember that this is what happens when joy goes viral. The lives of people around them are changed. The world is changed. God took 12 men and he changed the world. What can he do with you? I don't keep track of attendance, but how many do we have here? What could God do in Allegan? What could God do in Michigan? What could God do if every single one of us this coming year, 2026, if every single one of us in this room, if we decided that we were going to witness to people, we're going to faithfully witness to people, And if God, by His grace, decides to use our witness, if each of us is able to disciple two people to do the same thing that we ourselves are doing, do you even know what God could do with that through the year 2026? Through the year 2027, 2028? Do we believe this announcement? Because if we do, we should share it. If we do, we should rejoice over it. If we do, we should find our peace and our joy and our hope in it. So I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but here's the deal. Will you commit with me to being an annoying Christian for 2026? Will you commit with me to being like the shepherds and being just a little extra for 2026? I hope you will. I hope that this year you'll invite someone to experience Jesus personally. And don't keep this good news to yourself. That's what happens when joy goes viral. The world is put on its head, and people's lives are changed, not just for a day, but for all of eternity. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, we thank